The prayer reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 38, titled The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 19. Grameshu Abhisattam Chapi. The proprietor of any occupation. A devotee always thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the proprietor. Therefore, the results of his business are offered to the Supreme Lord. One who thus lives in the material world with his family and children never becomes affected by the contamination of the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9. One who tries to enjoy the results of his activities becomes bound by the results. One who offers the results of profits to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, does not become entangled in the results. This is the secret of success. Generally, people take sannyasa to become free from the reactions of fruitive activity. One who does not receive the results of his action but offers them instead to the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly remains in the liberated condition. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Rupa Goswami affirms, if one engages himself in the service of the Lord through his life, wealth, words, intelligence and everything he possesses, he will always be liberated in any condition. Such a person is called a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated during this lifetime. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, those who engage in material activities simply become more entangled in material bondage. They have to suffer and enjoy the actions and reactions of all activity. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore the greatest boon to humanity because it keeps one always engaged in Krishna's service. The devotees think of Krishna, act for Krishna, eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, and work for Krishna. Thus, everything is engaged in the service of Krishna. A total life in Krishna consciousness saves one from the material contamination, as stated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. If one is so expert that he can engage everything or doubt everything in the service of the Lord, to give up the material world would be a great danda. One should learn how to doubt everything in the service of the Lord, for everything is connected to Krishna. That is the real purpose of life and secret of success. Reiterated later in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. The third chapter of Bhagavad Gita specifically considers material activities for the purpose of sense gratification and mental activities for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. The conclusion is that these are not one and the same. Material activities for sense gratification are the cause of material bondage, whereas the very same activities for the satisfaction of Krishna are the cause of liberation. How the same activity can be the cause of bondage and liberation can be explained as follows. One may get indigestion due to eating too many milk preparations, condensed milk, sweet rice, and so on. But even though there is indigestion or diarrhea, another milk product, yogurt, mixed with black pepper and salt will immediately cure these maladies. In other words, one milk preparation can cause indigestion and diarrhea, and the other milk preparation can cure them. If one is placed in material opulence due to the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he should not consider that opulence a cause of bondage. When a mentioned devotee is blessed with material opulence, he does not become affected adversely, for he knows how to employ material opulences in the service of the Lord. There are many such examples in the history of the world. There were kings like Prithu Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Dhruva, Vaibhasavata Manu, and Maharaj Vishwaku. All of these were great kings and were were specially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a devotee is not mature, the Supreme Lord will take away all his opulences. This principle is stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My first mercy shown to my devotee is to take away all his material opulence. Material opulence detrimental to devotional service is taken away by the Supreme Lord. Whereas a person who is mature in devotional service is given all material facilities. Om Ajnana Nivarinasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Shri Chaitanya Mahamudisam Sathitamena Bhutane Swayamrupa Kadamam Kadadisam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarvabhauma Sattva Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So for this book, for this verse, Srila Prabhupada himself has completely explained. There is no need to explain further. He has elaborately given all the explanation, but still we will try to understand Srila Prabhupada's book. That is it. So we will try to do that. This is one of this chapter and this series of chapters of very heavy with instruction, philosophical instruction, and so many things are there. So what we do is we are reminding back very quickly. We are going back to chapter 24 onwards very quickly so that we get the whole picture. Now, if we recall, we have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it, every day? And therefore, it is a good practice to also recall because mind tends to forget. So, in chapter 24, what's happening is Prachinya Bharata has requested his sons to do austerities. So, as they are going in search of a very nice and silent lake, as they were searching, they came across Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva wanted to see them and meet them. And while meeting them, Lord Shiva gave them Rudra Gita prayers. With that prayers, the sons of Prachinya Bharata, Prachetas, went into a silent lake inside water, and they were meditating for 10,000 years the prayers given by Lord Shiva. Now, this is like a spiritual melody. On one side, you see the Prachetas going on chapter 24 and going into the water, and they are doing austerities. In between, chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 is happening. Okay? So they have gone into the water. Now, chapter 25 onwards, what's happening is Prachinya Bharata is doing his after Karmananda sacrifices. So he starts one sacrifice, finishes, and he starts another one. He starts another one. He starts another one. Why? Because he doesn't want to suffer in the future. He wants a storage of happiness for the future. But will that happen based on Srila Prabhupada's Prabhu? Will that happen in this material world or not? Can we just push away all our miseries and just one day enjoy and enjoy? Will it happen or not? No. Why? The material world is a place of duality. Okay? Always there is a combination. Heat and cold. Happiness, distress. Okay? You cannot separate. There is a coin, you know, it's got two sides. You cannot separate the coin head and tail. It is attached. This is the package you get in the material world. We have to understand this package. Now in that package, if one wants to eliminate the distress, he wants to have only happiness, it is fine for some time, then because there is enjoyment, he has suffered. No matter, we are going to see that, no matter is not at all possible. Because it's a package, as I said, you know. So no matter, Prachinya Parishad is working on that principle because his knowledge is limited at that point. See, at that point, before Narada Muni can come and talk to him, his knowledge was limited. He was just attached to it because he said, I don't have seen suffering in this middle world. I don't want suffering. Everywhere there is suffering. I want to eliminate suffering. Only sacrifices, because at that time, sacrifices are necessary. So one sacrifice after another, so that I have a storage of happiness. I need not have to suffer in the future, but his calculation is wrong. So in order to prove that his calculation is wrong, Narada Muni is coming and giving him a complete overload of philosophy and spiritual knowledge. Okay? This has been going on from chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 also. Very big elaboration we have discussed so far. Now, remember, Prachetas are still underwater. So this is going on. Now, Narada Muni's download of philosophy was so much that Prachinya Bhagat is completely renounced to the spiritual world. He said, I want to go renounce and I want to fix my mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not even bother for his sons to come back. So, the chapter 29 finishes with Prachinya Parishad renouncing and going for his own austerity, you know, meditating on the Lord. He has left. Then chapter 30 starts with Prachetas finishing off the 10,000 years. Lord Vishnu himself personally came underneath the water because he said, don't worry, I will come and say, you don't have to come out. So the Lord went along with Garuda inside the water and the discussion was, is going on now. So this is the discussion going on where they have seen the Lord. So in this purport, I want to know, we have been attentively reading for about 10 minutes this purport, right? Srila Prabhupada says, secret of success, how many times did he say? He says 2 times. If you go through that lection, it's a very good purport. 2 times he said, secret of success, secret of success. Okay? So let us explore that. Slowly, what is the secret of success? So, in this purport, which we are going to discuss, the first couple of paragraphs basically talks about the difference between Grahastha and Gṛhaṇīhi, or you can say devotees, non-devotees, or I'm just trying to classify, or you can say persons doing devotion service, persons not doing devotion. This is the category we form. Basically, there are 2 categories. In one sense, right? Devotees, non-devotees, for us to understand. So, this category also means Gṛhaṇīhi and Gṛhaṇīhi. Now, Gṛhaṇasthas, they use all the possession in the service. I'm talking about a typical Gṛhaṇastha, okay? Not a Kaliyuga Gṛhaṇastha, a typical Gṛhaṇastha uses all the opulences in the service of the Lord. Whereas a Gṛhaṇīhi uses everything for his own enjoyment and therefore he is entangled. There is no way he is going to escape that. Yeah? What is the reason that a Gṛhaṇastha, he doesn't want entanglement? Because in Gṛhaṇastha life itself is a distress. In the modern Gṛhaṇastha life itself is a distress. So he understands, yes, I want to use everything in the Lord's service. And so by using that, he is free from bondage. But the Gṛhaṇīhi or the non-devotees, they don't know that there is an entanglement process. They don't know. Because they are covered completely and therefore they enjoy and they get entangled more and more and more. Just to give you a very simple scenario, an analogy in terms of our day-to-day life. Say, for example, I live in Clayton. Right? From Clayton, there are two trains. One going towards other side, Dandenong, away from the city. And the one from Clayton going towards the city. They are going all the time. Now, the Gragastha or the devotees are taking a train which is going towards the city. It may not reach immediately, instantly, but over a period of time, after a quarter of a minute, it reaches it. So they are going towards the process. But a non-devotee, he takes a train to the other side. The more and more, imagine this is a very, very serious condition. They are going every minute away and away from Krishna. Very serious process. So how lucky we are. Anyway, because of the fact that they don't know reality. What is the reality? The reality is we are a spirit soul and part of Krishna. That is forgotten. Because in the material world, the material energy completely covers the soul by giving two bodies, gross body and subtle body. There is no way one can understand. And on top of that, the unknown is also there. What one can do if they don't know the real identity of a person, identity crisis. We have been talking this, you know, in every Bhagavatam class about this. But it's a fact. They are suffering due to identity crisis. I don't know who I am because I am covered by this body. And not only this, every lifetime I've been covered by different bodies, different forms. And therefore there is no way I can know. This is a very precarious situation. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's system is to undergo, all of us have to undergo the process of self-realization. Unless we know what we are as a self, we will not do that job. Isn't it? If I know that I am accountant, I work on the, you know, accounts. But if I think that I am an engineer, but actually I am a professional accountant, I will destroy all the buildings instead of building. Because identity crisis, I don't know. Therefore, it is so important for us. For the other person, it is a joke. Many years back, when I was working in a pharmaceutical company, you know how we used to have colleagues. My sort of patient is not like an Arjuna patient, but like not so very mild and all that. So during a company, you know, he said, "Why are you eating me? Can we talk like that?" Now, at one point, I had to talk about a little bit about soul, you know, something. See, you know, it came out of my mouth. It's almost like, you know, we are spirit soul. He said, "What did you say?" My colleague said, "It's a spirit soul, you know. We are, you know that we are, so we are not this body." And he was so upset. He said, they called me a Suri there. He said, "Suri, don't give me the crap." He told me that, I'm telling you, he said, "Don't give me the crap to me, you know. And we are working in a pharmaceutical company, you know. Suri, you're talking like this, you know." Then I thought, see, when someone is agitated, or someone is a little bit disturbed, it is not a good time to provoke, you know. The best thing is leave. Leave. And later on we can talk, you know, because they will be very important. This guy is talking about something, you know, something which is not to be seen in the material world. This is also his reaction. So therefore, and later on, we spoke, but still, you know, some people are so adamant. So what can we do, you know? But unfortunately, he did not become a devotee or anything. But it's, we tried, at least, you know, I was telling about this soul, and probably now I'm thinking I should have given him some books or something, but that was like my initial stages of Krishna Bhagavatam. I was stuck to that, you know, my own ways of doing things. They also learn. So, therefore, in this material world, one cannot separate enjoyment and distress. It is a package. Okay? Right. Now, Bhagavad Gita
seventh chapter talks about classification, right? Krishna himself says, why one may ask, why there is classification? Because the Lord says, in the seventh chapter, there are four kinds of people who will surrender, or will take a Krishna conscious, or will believe in him. And there are four kinds of people who will not believe. Okay? We are not going in the different types, because all of you know that. Right? And for further reference, please read Bhagavad Gita chapter 7. It is out there. So, Krishna himself admits. And what's the difference between devotees and non-devotees? Why they are doing like that? What's the reason?
Ignorance.
We discussed in the couple last week, ignorance. Because they are not following a format. They are not following procedure. What is the procedure? Scripture. Manual. If you don't follow the manual, how can it be? If the building is there, I'm not following the manual, what will happen to the building? It will go. It will be destroyed. The same way, the devotees follow the scriptures in general. But the non-devotees, they will not accept anything. My way is the right way. So, Bhagavad Gita again says that what is the mood of a, or what is the thought or a mood of a non-devotee? Ishvara aham, aham guru. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. Why I should listen? But what is the mood of a devotee? Prabhupada says, Bhokta Ram Yajna Prasam, Sarvaloka Mishra. So, we have to do a transition from Ishvara aham, aham bohi to Bhokta Ram. It is a long way. That is what we are struggling. So we have to take this path of Bhokta Ram. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Dasa Kaviraja Goswami. He makes a comment that the devotees of the Lord, they are very clever. He makes a lot of comments. He makes that one, and then also he says the entire material energy or the material existence works on the misconception of the mind. Krishna Chaitanya, everything is the concept of the mind. I like this, I don't like this. I hate this, I like this, love this, whatever it is. Everything is the conception of mind. Now, coming back to what Krishnadasa Kaviraja Goswami says, the devotees are very clever because he says they do two things. One, what's the first one? Yes. They do service to the Lord, as a devotee do service to the Lord, and therefore naturally you will avoid reaction. In the mental world, action, reaction against the package. You cannot separate. You know? Like a duality, as you mentioned earlier. So by performing devotional service to Krishna, they naturally avoid reaction. The law of karma is a network. One after another. See the network here? I do not understand where it is coming from and where it is going. Prabhu is a cloud engineer. I don't hear them say, I came here, I saw this box is reflecting Krishna. How nice it is, you know? It is all network, you know. So that in the same way, this is a network of karma in the material world. Okay? Now that karma cannot be stopped, cannot be diluted, cannot be erased at all, cannot be erased. So what is the way? What is the way the karma has to be erased? Help me. How? How one is, it's not possible. Every action produces a reaction. So how one can eliminate this karma? How? Yes. And how will, sorry?
To Krishna.
To Krishna, correct. Now in terms of karma, Brahma Samhita says, Brahma is saying something. What is that? Karma Vikara Kurpa Prindeshwaru. This is called Sri Pitta. What did he say? Karma Nirdahati Kinchis Bhakti Bhajam. Brahma, who is a form Adi Guru of our foundation, he himself says, karma is a network. This is my opinion. Lord Brahma is saying, you cannot stop karma. In other words, fruitive activity. The word will come in a minute. Fruitive activity. What is fruitive activity? We are talking about fruitive activity and all that. In short, okay, we try to understand everything shortly. What is fruitive activity? Or what is karma? Very sacrifice, ritual. What is that? What is fruitive activity? In short, fruitive activity means sense enjoyment. Simple sense enjoyment. Enjoyment for the body. Because again, the duality, the body has got pain and enjoyment. Isn't it? I can enjoy through the senses, I can suffer through the senses as well. If this is crushed, can't even take pressure. Or if you cut the nail short, so much pain. So, it's a package. Enjoyment, suffering. Enjoyment, suffering. So, you can't do it. So, sense enjoyment, again, what fruitive activity means, if someone is foolish, in other words, or materially less, or materially intelligent. See, materially intelligent means spiritually foolish. Yeah? We can deduce that. So, if someone is materially intelligent, spiritually foolish, their attitude is to enjoy and to decrease or minimize the suffering to the minimum. And that works for moral goodness principle. Okay? Minimize. But still, they will get reaction. So, the best thing is, you cannot avoid this karma chakra. Too much. Too much. For example, just I'm speaking hypothetically. I can have a good karma. So therefore, some 20 years back I came to Australia. Whatever I have done. I have a bad karma, which I have done in this birth, for which I have lost a job. Practically I'm saying. How do you know? The karma which I came to maybe Australia was I had done 2 years, maybe 2 months back before or something. But I had done something bad for which I lost it. So it is very, very difficult. Even Brahma is declaring what to talk about that. It's not an ordinary person. Brahma is saying it's a network of karma. Therefore, fruitive activities give up. Fruitive activities means sense enjoyment. That means foolish way of thinking. I want only enjoyment, I don't want suffering. Because you will get suffering if you go for enjoyment. That is not the package. So, Brahma is saying that. So, Krishnadasa Kaviraja Goswami says, the devotees are very clever because naturally they do, as Mataji Prabhu said, naturally they do a Krishna conscious activity which does not produce reaction because it's beyond the material realm, it's beyond the three states, and it's also known as akarma. And by doing akarma, no reaction to this material world, they don't have reaction. He says, and therefore, because of this no reaction, they go back to God. This is the verdict of Krishnadasa Kaviraja Goswami. Therefore, I classify all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya as very clever. To this effect, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, often repeated, many speakers of Bhagavatam has quoted this. I'm just re-quoting that. In the 11th canto, in the perfection of spiritual foundation, Krishna's very dear associate and Krishna's friend, Uddhava, is talking, you know, he's taking this prayer, all you can say was beautiful prayer. He's saying, oh Lord, people who have embraced, I'm putting it in my own word, people who have embraced material existence, existence, or people who want to enjoy the material way of life, they have to go through two different channels of suffering. Okay? One suffering is constantly they've been harassed by the three modes of material nature in the form of three miseries. Adi Bhakti, Adi Devi, Adi?
Adi.
They cannot avoid it. One channel. The other channel, they have constantly, they have to go through repeated birth and death. So it is like a two channel. Uddhava is saying, they have to go through the threefold miseries and continuous birth and death. For them, possibly, if they can simply surrender to the lotus feet, try to surrender to the lotus feet, then it is like an umbrella which is constantly showering the rain of nectar. Now, to me, my understanding is that this has got significance. Ambarna is significant, nectar is significant. See, ambarna we use as a shield. Okay? So, if someone, we want to shield from the miseries of Adi Bhakti, Adi Amik, Adi Devi, we should have a shield. This ambarna acts as a shield. You do not have to go to any other shield. Krishna's lotus feet itself is acting as a shield, ambarna. Then, there is a shower of nectar coming from the ambarna. What does it mean? Immortality. That means it is so the umbrella is solving this problem and the nectar is solving the repeated birth and death. So by simply attempting, you may not have to surrender, attempting, hoping to surrender, this will go away. Because after all, Krishna is very kind and he will grant it to us. So I thought that this verse is very, very significant. It's one of my favorite verses as well. Now, the Supreme Lord Krishna himself, where did he say in Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about his own devotees and the lifestyle of a devotee. Krishna is saying, see, my devotees are like this. He's defining a devotee. Where does he say that? In 10.9, Krishna says, Machitta Madhyadattam Bodhayanta Parasparam Kadechasya Mamnityam Tushyanchasya Ramanchita. My devotees always, what do they do? They are engaged in activities. They talk about me to one another and they give some great satisfaction. This is the lifestyle of my devotee. Don't be silly. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is also expanding in some of the purports. How one should surrender, he said many things, you know, that Srila Prabhupada also says that how a devotee is, by doing devotion service to Krishna, is becoming less and less entangled, whereas a non-devotee who is not attached to Krishna, he gets more and more entangled, more and more. Is attached to the material energy, and therefore, you see, more attachment to the material energy means more bodies. We have to think like that. Okay? Let us not complicate. Very simple. More attachment to Krishna means less bodies. See, in our karma, say for example, for me I can talk, if I have not taken a Krishna conscious, now I have got 1,000 births. Easy. Very easy. Because of the reaction I have done. 1,000 births I have got. Now, as I am coming to Krishna, my 1,000 births is becoming 900, 800, 700, it is becoming. But if I have not taken Krishna conscious in the last 15 to 20 years, my birth would have been increased to 1,500 or 2,000. I don't know. I'm just saying, approximately. Maybe 1,500. Easy. So this is reducing, the span is reducing because of calling Krishna conscious. Now, finally, the practice, let us see the practice. In order for us to become a devotee or a practicing devotee, we should be in the mode of goodness. Rupa Goswami confirms this aspect in Nectar of Instruction,
is giving a qualification of a preliminary devotee or a neophyte devotee, that one must control one's senses, the mind, the tongue, belly, genital, all must be controlled as a preliminary instruction. Now what happens is, when one controls as per the instructions of guidance of Rupa Goswami and controls the senses, then one will become a Goswami. When one becomes a Goswami, only one can understand the transcendental literature. Otherwise one cannot understand. This is Rupa Goswami's affirmation. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his moment, he wants everyone of us to be in the mode of goodness, become a Goswami. He wants everyone. And after all, it is not at all a difficult process. If you do Krishna consciousness, everyone can become Goswami. It's a natural process. One need not have to think I am a Goswami. It's a natural process. So, today what I got is, I will fill up the rest of the time with two stories. Hare Krishna. So two stories. One is the mode of goodness, and other one is what are the qualities we have to acquire, and based on that one story. One story based on mode of goodness. There was a person who was interested in knowing about the fishes. What do you call the terminology? Do you know? He was an aquarist or something. What's the term for that? One was interested in knowing about the fish and, you know, fish tank, the aquarist or something. As long as you understand. This person is very interested in the fish. He has a lot of fish tank and all that. Now, one fish tank he designed just to understand about the fish. So probably you can guess what his next word will be. Yeah. So, he has a fish tank, and then in the fish tank, he has put a big fish, very big fish. And then, next, in the same fish tank, he has also put some tiny fishes, bait fishes they call. He put a fish to catch a bigger, smaller fish to catch a bigger fish. Now, that also he put. Now, within moments, he saw that the big fish, right, he ate on the small fishes. It's finished in no time. Why? Because Jiva says Jivana. What is the word?
Jiva,
Jiva says Jivana. One living entity is a purpa other entity. Only for animals, not for humans. Not for humans. So, immediately he ate. Then again, second time also he put. Because he's studying and studying. He put. Again, the big fish came and ate all of them. Then what he did was, he put a barrier, a thick barrier, okay, in the fish tank. He made it into two compartments. On one compartment he put a big fish, another compartment again he put a small fish. Now, the moment the big fish saw the small fish, it came gushing through that and it hit on the wall, glass wall, it was big, but that's it, not that. It was very confident, I'm going to eat, this is my sense object. Then again it went, 3-4 times he did. And then, okay, then he did not bother. Fish understood, oh, it is beyond the reach, you know. Oh, this Krishna consciousness is too much beyond the reach. So he thought, okay, it hurt a few times and it went back. Then the next day morning, again, the fish did not learn. Again, 3-4 times he did. Unless it strikes, you know, and then after some few hours or something, it picks up, oh, this is a long way. Third day, guess what? Again, the fish went in search of the small fish. Third day, like that, it repeated for 7 days. 7 days, it keep on hitting, it was sinking. Then, 7th day, it realized, fish, oh, I am not going to get this. Then, this guy, what he did was, on the 7th day, 8th day, he removed the partition. Okay? Now, the fish saw the small fish, but he did not eat. Why?
Why the big fish did not eat the small fish? Why?
Scared.
Scared. Correct. Mind. Impression created. I will not enjoy. No point. Futile. Created. 7 days. Fish has learned. I have asked myself, have I done? Anyway, continue the story. Then, he left it off for another few more days. The fish did not disturb. Even though it was going closer, because the fish has learned. So in the same way, if we are in the mode of goodness, of course, by practicing Krishna concept, is our way. We are not separately going away from Krishna. Today I am told you, know, do austerities. Our process is, in association with Krishna, with the devotees, we follow the mode of goodness. Now, by following the mode of goodness, what will happen? This devotional service will protect us like a barrier from criticisms. Even devotees in big mouth, ridiculing, all will stop if you are in the mode of goodness. The very reason a devotee is not up to the mark shows that, you know, they are not in the mode of goodness. There is nothing to prove there. So, this barrier which that comes only by the practice of Krishnamurti is not by our own efforts. In my own efforts, today I will be okay. I will try to conquer. Tomorrow my nature will come and I will abuse it. Finish. Therefore, how important is this attaining Krishna consciousness, which gives us a barrier? Because here with a small fish, there are very, very great fishes, big, big leaders. Right? Sometimes we may have to face situations like that. But this gives a barrier to protect us from them. But the second thing is, being in the mode of goodness means being a Brahmana. Being Brahmana means developing good qualities. In the 13th chapter, verse 8-12, Krishna talks about the process of knowledge, starting with humility, tolerance, you know, taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. He says, the first thing is, by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and following his instruction, all his qualities will manifest. This is known as process of knowledge. So there, in the 13th chapter, Krishna says that the process of knowledge is character building. If one's character is not built properly, then he is not in the mode of goodness and therefore he is not following Krishna consciousness. The character building means that the process of knowledge is working. This is the definition. This is again the statement by Krishna himself. There are about 8-12 words talks about that. The first one is following the instructions of the Guru. So, being in the mode of goodness, as I spoke earlier, means being a Brahmana. And being a Brahmana means, you know, following some of these qualities. Because I can claim, you know, I'm a Brahmana on the people, don't have the qualities. What is the point? So the quality being patience, self-control, tolerance. They are magnanimous qualities. A person should appear. And they will appear on the path of devotion service. Now, based on that, a small story. There was a person once. He is a materialistic person. He had a good job, big house, everything was working on well. Right? It was working. But he did not realize that when a Rahu changes, he will lose a job. Rahu. When Rahu, demigod, changes, we will lose our job because of the planet condition. So probably one such incident, maybe Rahu has changed from the 7th house to the 8th house or something, and then this guy lost the job. Because of that, there was a problem in the house. Because no money, how the family, you know, they have to, they should have money, and therefore the problem started. And then problems with the family, problems with the children, no job, he frustrated. He came to the point, I am going to renounce. Frustrated at that. He said, I'm going to renounce. So he walked away from the house. And then he went towards the forest. There he saw a yogi meditating. Then, when the yogi finished his meditation, he approached him. He said, I am so frustrated in life, I want to join you. So the yogi looked at him, looked at his attire, his personality. The yogi can come. He can get used. He said, okay, it's not that easy renunciation. Okay, tell me what is the problem. He said, see, I lost a job because of that. There was a problem, and the wife is not supporting, children, all these big problems, and I'm frustrated. Then he said, okay, I will. You stay with me for a few months. Right? I teach you something, and that will be a good lesson for you. You know, and you can also get it from your family. And he said, fine, but only for a few months, up to 6 months, and then you have to go back. He said, okay. Deal signed. Now the yogi has got a big farm, like our farm. So he said, look at this, I'm going to grow two plants. One is just a grass, you know, ordinary grass, and other one is a bamboo. Let us observe, and we'll take the lesson slowly. So, the moment, you know, when you put that in the grass, you do not have to do anything. Slowly, the first day, you know, the grass, little bit, you know, of the bud came. And then within a few days, grass, something came up, green. And within 7 days, 14 days, grass started coming out on one side. On the other side, you put a bamboo plant, bamboo tree. And then nothing happened. We were putting more and more water. Nothing. But here, 14 days, 1 month, the grass has come to this side. Bamboo, nothing. Again, second month, grass is still growing. Bamboo, nothing. Third month, again, grass is growing this much higher because they did not go down only. Still growing. Third month also, then what can you do? It's an experiment, they say. Nothing is observed. So the fourth month, the grass became a little bit dry and all that. He could see that there is a small spot of this bamboo tree coming. They did not put one bamboo tree, a few bamboo trees, just to see. Then, fourth month onwards, the bamboo tree, that's it, it started growing. Fifth month, sixth month, it went up to 16 feet high. So this yogi asked us, did you see any difference? Then this guy said, probably yeah, one is growing, another one is not growing, you know, over time and all, but he could not relate properly. So this yogi said, we are all different. There are different natures in us. The nature of the grass is to quickly grow and determine. That is the life of that. That is its very nature. Whereas the bamboo, it may not come initially. And then once it starts, it goes skyrocketing, you know, goes higher and higher, and it becomes. That's the nature of the bamboo. You cannot say grass and the bamboo both are same. Each one is different. So in the Krishna's creation, everyone is different. Right? We cannot compare. One. The second thing is, there is a maturity for everyone. This is a lesson you are saying. Maturity comes over time with practice. You cannot immediately. Over time, maturity comes with practice. So you have been practicing. What is the practice for the grass and the bamboo every day? What they do? So what is the everyday watering for us? The primary
aspect of devotional service is Shravana Kirtana. Let him be a neophyte, let him be a Uttama Adhikari, let him be a purified, liberated soul with Krishna. Still, they have to glorify. But they do not have to chant Hare Krishna Mantra, but they will glorify Krishna's activity. Okay? Mother Yashoda is not chanting Hare Krishna, not Krishna also. But she is thinking and glorifying Krishna's activity. That is a shravan for them. For us, because we are in the material pool, we are still in the material pool. Therefore, we have to follow the process of hearing and chanting the primary aspect of devotional service, which will slowly rise up to the other stage. So, over this period of chanting, hearing, one should practice this, and therefore, over the maturity, over the period of time, maturity comes, and then they can get out of these qualities. So, this person, he understood that. It's a small experiment. And then he went back, and then he thought, everyone is different. So, maybe my wife wants something, my children want something, I'm not able to understand. So, he's able to relate now, because the guru explained to him about the nature of different person. Everyone is different, we cannot cut that. And in that way, he lived differently. So, we will stop here, and then if there is any quick questions or corrections, we'll take it and listen.
So, we'll have two different versions about karma and whether it can be counteracted or not. One is that Brahma Samhita version where it says only Krishna can remove the results of karma. And then Bhagavatam 6th canto, the beginning of that, Sripada Goswami says about what prayaschitta is, that it doesn't really remove the seed of karma. You would continue like the infant coming out of the water. And so the question is whether karma can be counteracted by doing prayaschitta or can it not be counteracted.
So the question is, karma can be?
Can we remove, can we change karma by doing prayaschitta or only Krishna can change it?
According to Bhagavad Gita says, out of the five aspects of Bhagavad Gita, only one you can change. What is that? There are five aspects of Bhagavad Gita. What is that, Prabhu?
Ishvara.
Jiva,
prakriti,
material nature, kala, time, karma. Out of the five basic aspects of Bhagavad Gita, you can change, love is saying, one you can change. So, karma. So, your first question is, karma can be
changed.
But, material activities or karma, you can define as material activities. Any prescribed activity is karma. Because Lord again defines Bhagavad Gita that there are three karmas, actions. Actions can be, karma can be divided into three kinds. The first kind is karma, which is prescribed duties. The second is vikarma, prohibited activities. And the third one is akarma. So in our case, we leave akarma, devotional service, that's why we're not talking. And vikarma also we're not talking. Karma, right? Now the word karma is very generally used in this modern dimension as reaction to work. But what Krishna is saying is action itself. So Krishna is talking about action, but the material world is talking about action to work, reaction, karma, which you will suffer because of karma. Like that, okay? But nevertheless, in the material world, one material activity will produce another activity. But a result. Action but opposite reaction. Therefore, we also discussed in many weeks back, I think I had the bandwidth there, what happens in material activity, the karma of suffering is shifted, you know, from the head to the shoulder to the skin and the shoulder. It never leaves you. At the end of the day, you are not leaving. Karma is very complicated.
and one material action will produce another action, another one will produce another action, chain reactions, you know.
Therefore you cannot do.
But as long as the chain reactions continues, one has to go through different forms of life. As long as there is a material reaction to that, one has to go, keep on recycling the material. But on the contrary, the karma, if you want to eliminate, you have to take a karma. No bad, no good. Then it can be eliminated. Right. Now, did it explain or is it a way? So, okay, in the case of the first one you said, Sukadeva Goswami is one. There are some methods prescribed in the scriptures, you know, where like, you know, austerity, tolerance, and all that, they will reduce your karma. Cannot be eliminated, the material world. Unless one does karma, it can, even there is some pinch also of the reaction will be there. But akarma is like completely sweeps away because of the purity of the action. Anything that is done to Krishna is very pure. Therefore it removes completely the dirt. And it removes it. When we say dirt, we mean the desires. Deep-rooted desires are sitting in our heart from time immemorial. As a snake, we were having a desire. As a dog, we had a desire. Now all this being sitting there. And as a human, we try to exhibit them. So, material reaction or action cannot mitigate, one material action cannot mitigate another material action. Because everything is karma. So, to eliminate karma, you have to do akarma. Is that okay?
Like a prayer
chika is, yes, a
partial removal of karma,
karma.
But at the same time generating,
attend
to eliminate karma, generating more.
It's correct. Desire is, that is, desire is still there.
I have a question in regarding to how we can explain Vrachinavali Maharaj being engaged in karma kanda activities and at the same time engaging his sons in a superior activity like undergoing austerities and no, during the beginning you said that Vrachinavali was his knowledge was limited. So how can we explain or reconcile that he engaged his own sons in a superior activity compared to Karmakanda?
Probably, Mataji, as we discussed in the example amongst the nature. So Prachinya Bharat is attached to his nature of Karmakanda. Whereas Prachetas probably, I cannot give more explanation, very technical question. I think probably Bhani Swami Maharaj might be able to tell, but with my limited knowledge, is what I'm thinking is, it's a nature. See, some people, they are all born, no? And when we are in our youth, you know, our nature comes up. When someone is 13 years, you know, of age and on, their nature comes up. Whether they have the mode of goodness or ignorance or passion. So in this case, I'm guessing that prachetas are naturally in the mode of goodness due to the previous activities, and therefore they are able to, you know, do much more austerities than the
father. His father, in this case, prachetas' father, was able to identify the nature of his children and engage them in superior activities, and considering that Karma Kanda is the prevention of the propensity to find enjoyment. I engage myself in some activities because I'm expecting superior reciprocation for my enjoyment. So if I undergo austerities, the benefit would be superior, would be more than just
kind of karma jackets, for example. Why not doing the austerities, knowing that the benefit will disappear because I'm looking for the benefit? That's karma kind of. In that sense, for example, try to understand the logic of Prajnavarni, because he knew about the benefits of austerities. For that reason, he engaged his son.
And probably he's attached so much, and so he's not able to do, so he's telling his son something like, you know, but just to give you a mundane example, sometimes, you know, in our community we see a father, you know, he would like to become a doctor. But somehow he's becoming an engineer or something. Then he will force his son to become a doctor. Because through the doctor, he's able to get that satisfaction that I'm a doctor, my son is a doctor. And he will tell everyone, my son is a doctor. And it's a desire is fulfilled. Now, so probably I'm thinking that Prajnavarni Bharat may be thinking, you know, oh, I'm so much attached. Because it is attachment, I cannot leave this ritual. And maybe I will not take my son and I push them towards the extent of
extended ego.
Good. We see practically here. Yeah. But how at that time
that's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We'll stop you. Thank you. Gantra Shri Mantra Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada.
Jai.